Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Bear with me tonight, I am exhausted. I don't know why, because it was a relaxed day. I've just been working a little bit, making mini pizzas with the family. Fun mini pizzas on burger bread. So yeah, not too much demanding, but for some reason I am exhausted. And the show will be short because there's not that much happening, but I still wanted to be here for maybe a 30 minutes. DK Shadow says, Trump versus Kamala, LFG. Yeah, it's there is an increasing bet, and we see it on the betting markets. There is an increasing belief that Joe Biden is about to announce his resignation. Of course, Joe Biden is a political puppet. So if his sponsors, if the people who wanted him in power want him out, he will go out. He will go out. But the question is it too late? Because the people who are the puppeteers of Joe Biden, they will think, well, is a switch even useful at this point? Can any campaigner beat Donald Trump? And wouldn't it be kind of an admission of defeat already to be making the move in a disparate way? Because it's after any sort of deadlines have been attained, it's going to be hard. There may be states that deny a switch, and they're going to have to find an excuse of the kind, disability of some sort. So it's going to be complicated, and it's going to display a desperation on the side of Democrats. Naberius says, doesn't give the new nominee much time to work with before election day. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that any nominee would lose at this point, especially with the Trump attempted assassination. Elon Musk is posting white replacement stuff. Look at this. All sorts of characters that were traditionally white, all replaced by black actors, black dolls, black characters, black. At this point, it is so artificial. I can't believe that there's demand for these black products. It's like at some point, you are being imposed a product that you wouldn't converge to naturally. And Saturn Shine says, how come a white never replaces a black figure? Oh yeah, well, that's the mechanism of progressivism. Progressivism always has a direction to it. So they will sell it under neutral terms like, hey, aren't you anti-racist? But then the anti-racism, you realize, is always in a sense, so much so that the anti-racism is racist. Rodi Lassid says, this is why I asked you, JF, last week, who would be Kamala's VP pick? At the time, you said Pete Buttigieg. I think they would find someone else for her VP, but likely a white man. Yeah, I mean, whatever they do at this point, I remember answering Pete Buttigieg. I wouldn't even necessarily think Pete Buttigieg today. I guess I threw it out like this as a loose prediction. A gay man. They will have to find someone gay because Kamala is not gay enough. Breaking, this was sent to me yesterday after the show. A company, Austin Private Wealth, shorted 12 million shares of Donald J. Trump via a put option. The filing date is July 12th, the day before the assassination. So we have more and more info about who shorted on the market Donald Trump before the assassination attempt. So potentially someone who was aware that this was going to happen. It is Austin Private Wealth LLC, which is just a shell company that apparently is part of the whole, I think they were saying, let me just confirm the name of the big company. It's part of Citadel Advisors. Oh no, Citadel Advisors is another that had a big position. Anyways, Austin Private Wealth amended their filing on July 16th and removed their put option on Donald Trump's media company. We have to go into this company and determine who are the agents of this company, who made the bet that Donald Trump would die that day. It seems like someone who had advanced knowledge of the matters. J.D. Vance is spouting some demographics-related point, which is a happy news, that he is kind of more based than Ben Shapiro. And in fact, Ben Shapiro is distraught. Distraught by what is said by J.D. Vance, and he's trying to skate his way out, trying to purposefully misunderstand what has been said by J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance said, America is not just a homeland or a location or an ID. It is a people. Now, that's a very clear statement. It's a very clear statement that is based, that is based on demographics. But look at how Ben Shapiro will, on purpose, not understand the point.
Vance's speech is getting a lot of attention. Is his point, and it was also made by the World War II veteran who spoke yesterday, that America is not just an idea, it's a homeland. Which
America is not just an idea, it's an homeland, but it's not what he says. You will listen carefully, you will hear J.D. Vance say, America is a people. Now, there's a difference between a people and a homeland. A homeland is a location where potentially a people can live or may not live because they've been kicked out or something. A people is very clear. It's an appeal to a demographic reality of the people that form a nation.
Of course, is absolutely true. Here is Senator Vance last night.
America is not just an idea. It is a group of people.
A group of people. So it couldn't be more clear. But look at Ben trying to change the word people. This is the first time I see a straw man. Not for the purpose of attacking the adversaries. A straw man for the purpose of agreeing with a false view that wasn't even expressed by the adversary.
With a shared history and a common future.
So a group of people with a shared history and a common future. We were together. We exist together as people. And our future is together. That would be what this phrase means.
It is, in short, a nation.
Now, so he's saying another word for this, another word for a group of people is a nation. A group of people that maintains itself across time in a way that their faith is bound to each other is a nation.
It is part of that tradition, of course, that we welcome newcomers. But when we allow newcomers into our American family, we allow them on our terms. People will not fight for abstractions, but they will fight for their home. And if this movement of ours is going to succeed, and if this country is going to thrive, our leaders have to remember that America is a nation and its citizens deserve leaders who put its interests first.
All right. Well, very good. I mean, loose reference. Very good. I wouldn't say that my disappointment with J.D. Vance as a pick is fully resolved, but at least it's good that he's spouting in the right direction. If he's pissing off Ben Shapiro, if he's making Ben Shapiro have to generate straw men, it's not bad. It's a good start.
Okay. Now, again, I agree with everything he's saying. I'm just not sure what he's arguing against.
I'm not sure. Well, he's arguing against a non-people-based view of America. He's arguing against people who say, I don't care about the Browning of America. He's arguing, Ben Shapiro, against you. Ben Shapiro doesn't want to understand why is the use of people in this sentence important. And ultimately, who is that an argument against? Ben, it's an argument against people like you who once tweeted, I don't care about the Browning of America. What ties us together is an ID. And so JD Vance is throwing it to you, and you don't realize.
Because obviously America is a nation. France is also a nation. Poland is also a nation.
A nation of people. He's putting it at the forefront that it's the people that is important to this nation. Now, this nation has lots of other things. It has IDs. It has McDonald's. It has Hollywood. It has Ben Shapiro. It has free speech. But what he's saying is there is one reality that is more important than any of these things. It is that we are a people. A people. Not just a place, not just an arbitrary group that is not bound by history, a people bound by history together and will go into the future together.
When he says that America is a land, yes.
He's not saying that America is a land. You are generating a straw man now.
So is literally every other land. That's
yeah, but he hasn't said that. He said it's a people.
True, and America happens to be the best land. I mean, it's absolutely...
Ben Shapiro going with his speed speech. I mean, this. What's the difference between this and Destiny? It's people who start yapping and yapping without thinking about what they're saying. This is what I hear when I hear Ben Shapiro.
Incredible. It's the best land and it's the best nation.
But it's not what he said. So you're arguing with a strawman.
But why? Why?
Why, Ben? Why do you say something that he hasn't said? Why, Ben?
And the answer is the idea that's connected to those things. So he says that America is not just an idea. And of course, that's true. I think the thing that he's arguing against, and here I agree with him. I think
the thing he's arguing against is you, who said it was just an idea, who said that America could go into the future all brown and it wouldn't bother you. As long as a few ideas like the First Amendment would be preserved.
The thing he's arguing against is this sort of abstracted idea that Joe Biden uses all the time.
No, it's not Joe Biden. He's arguing against you.
Where he says, it's not who we are. And what he means by that is, it's not who the left is.
No, you are wrong. And you have had to attribute false words to J.D. Vance to reach this conclusion.
Okay, the attempt to universalize American values in the sense that they can either be exported to Iraq or imported from Guatemala. That's silly and it's wrong. And I think that's what he...
No, now you're all making it up so that it fits your narrative. But it's not what J.D. Vance said.
He is saying right there. But when he says that people don't fight for ideas, obviously that's not true. That's certainly not true.
Well, people wouldn't fight for ideas alone. That was his message. If you just say fight for the liberty of Israel, I don't think you would get much recruitment on your army next year. Ultimately, people fight because they feel that their homeland, the place where their people and their family is threatened.
I mean, I'm sorry, the Cold War was a war of ideas.
Well, the Cold War is a terrible example because the Cold War wasn't a fight. It's a war defined by the fact that there wasn't fighting.
It turns out it was not just a war of territories. Otherwise, it would be like most European wars, which are wars of territory. Turns out that people fight for ideas all the time. The idea is connected.
Well, yeah. I mean, he hasn't said that ideas were totally unrelated to wars. What he's saying is ideas alone wouldn't lead to much recruitment. Whereas when people feel that their nation is at play, that the existence of their people and the continuity of their line of descent, then they are much more willing to fight. Now, as an anti-war guy, I will tell you that's worrying because it means that J.D. Vance is thinking very, very hard about how will we convince white people in America to enter war. That is a big problem. But let's leave this aside. I'm merely analyzing here the absolute mess that Ben Shapiro does with his interpretation here.
Connected to the home. That's what America, that's what makes America a nation. And I think that's what he's trying to say.
No. No, you haven't used the word people, and he has used the word people. So forget about homeland and nation and IDs. If you can't use the word people, you are engaged in subversion here. You are both lying about J.D. Vance's view, and you're lying about your critique of it, because it doesn't qualify. J.D. Vance said that America is a people. That's it. And if you can't say that sentence to just begin to properly represent his view, then whatever you yap here, whatever you're barking here, makes zero sense. No point in listening.
I hope that's what he's trying to say.
No, stop hoping. You are hoping in the wrong direction. You know, facts are have priority over your feelings, Ben Shapiro. Your hope about what J.D. Vance meant are meaningless. He said people and he meant people. You can't handle it because, of course, you're trying to push a kosherized view of right-wing beliefs. And it's working less and less. It's working less and less because of people like me who are offering an alternative. And it's because we can offer an alternative while we're not censored. Thanks to Elon and thanks to Odyssey and thanks to Rumble. But that's it. Your kosherized view, your lie, your strawman won't work anymore.
Because otherwise I'm not sure what the exact kind of...
People! People is what he meant and what he said. You can be sure about this, Ben. What the fuck? Like, I'm not really sure. Ben, he said people. Just look at the transcript and you're going to be sure that that's what he meant.
What is he arguing against?
He's arguing against you, Ben.
That's really the question that I'm asking here. And I know there are a lot of people online who are taking like significant pleasure in this particular line, but it's obviously self-evident. America is not just an idea. Lots of things are just an idea.
He didn't say just America is not just an idea. In fact, he didn't even say this. He said, first and foremost, America is a people. It's not just an idea. America is a people.
Right. Quantum physics is just an idea. It's not a nation. It's not a home.
Yeah, but our quantum physicist people, Ben Shapiro, our quantum physicist people, or could you just take anyone at random on the street and replace the quantum physicist and you would get the exact same science continuing in the future? Could you go into Africa, pick at random 5 people on the street and put them in charge of your quantum physics department? Would you still have quantum physics, Ben? Or would you have a form of voodoo, you know, whatever, a form of incorrect beliefs developing? You would have voodoo, Ben. You would have voodoo. And the same is true of America, and that is the truth that J.D. Vance was pointing to. That you cannot take 5 people, you cannot take 300 million people in Africa, put them instead of the American people and still have America, because you would have broken the history of a group in the past toward the future. Couldn't be clearer than this. You don't want to understand.
Obviously that's true. Obviously that's true. But the point of the American idea is even stated by J.D. Vance there, which is you can join. If America were only a nation.
Well, he said, you can join on our terms. So what that means is we will accept people joining our group, but we will select them. And if we say no, it's going to be no.
Or if it were only a home, how would you join it?
Well, how do you join a people, Ben? You take your stuff, you put it in your car, you drive to that people, and going forward, you join that people. See, how do you join a home, Ben? You enter the house, literally. And how do you join a people? You enter the group of people and you continue with them into the future. Ben is presenting a false property of people as being unjoinable. No, what J.D. Vance said is pretty clear. We are a people. It's a people that you can join under certain circumstances. We allow and we decide what these circumstances are. But there's no ideological contradiction between being able to join something and that thing not being a people. Obviously, you can join a people, or else all people's population would be zero. There has to be a mechanism of renewal. That mechanism is either birth, through which a new life joins the people, or immigration, through which an already existing being joins the people.
Obviously, he thinks you can join it, which means that the idea is very much in contention.
What is this? At this point, he has reached so many false premises that I think he's making up stuff.
A home. How would you join it?
Well, how do you join a home? You can join a home and you can join a people, Ben.
Obviously, he thinks you can join it, which means that the idea is very much in contention. If what he means is like baseline patriotism, wave the flag, this land matters, it matters where I'm born and where I die, obviously agree. And I assume that's what he means.
No, he doesn't mean baseline whatever you mentioned. He means people. He means demographics matters. He means those people like Ben Shapiro that say that it doesn't matter if America gets browned are wrong. This is what he's been saying. Leeds, UK, apparently under some local riots here by youths. The youths are up again. Youthing Leeds, UK here.
What? What is this going? No way! No way! Oh my fucking lord! Oh my body is gone! Oh my god! No way! No way! What is this going?
So some youth here at a carpets and rug market, throwing rocks at an ambulance. New guy says, did you just say youths? it's just a euphemism that was popular back in the days. Now we have new ones. But back like 5-6 years ago, whenever there were racial minorities doing anything, it was youths. Now they have new words like scholar and various other euphemism. And in fact, there's a meme now. New euphemism dropped. Man in a suitcase sends a super chat. He says, race and color is so much more than skin deep. It's heritage, history, pedigree, tradition, and struggle. BBC presenter Philip Schofield, except he was referring to a white woman who identified as black. Oh, yeah. Whenever you come to a leftist and you try applying their voodoo recipes that they would apply on a trans person, you try applying this to race, you realize the leftists are the basest. The basest is the best people. The leftist is the basest of all. They are as racist as can be. Low Mercury Tuna has sent 3 super chats on Entropy. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. On J.D. Vance, he says, how is Vance standing against Shapiro's browning of America if Vance's wife and children are brown? No, I mean, that's a legitimate question, which is why, of course, J.D. Vance, it's not a white card that I'm giving to J.D. Vance here and saying, oh, he's all good. There are still very worrying things about J.D. Vance, but what J.D. Vance is saying, basically, is I chose to brown myself. that was not a choice to brown the whole of America. And no, and perhaps JD Vance, if you were to take his beliefs as stated and you were to defend, kind of imagine that I'm JD Vance and I'm defending against your question. My answer to you might be, my wife is brown. I have decided to brown my descent, but I still disagree with Ben Shapiro that it wouldn't matter if we brown the whole of America. That is a decision that I've made on my terms, and that's how we need to treat the immigration question. It needs to be people of quality that we are satisfied by their quality. And if we were to just say, well, all brown doesn't matter, then we would end up on average with much less quality than I did by choosing a high quality brown woman. I guess that would be the J.D. Vance defense, or could be. He says, the incident is one in a billion, beneficial, lucky event, but the artist in me can't help think how it could be made better. He's talking here about the Trump reaction to the shooting. He says, Trump's first post-shooting chant should have been USA, USA, USA. Thoughts? No, I think that fight, fight, fight is more triggering to the left because it evokes, whoa, you're talking to a bunch of MAGA fans. Are you talking fight against the system? Are you talking fight against the institutions? Are you talking fight against democratic fraud? You know, and because it evokes all this, fight was... USA is just a generic chant that you could do anytime. But in reaction to a violent aggression, I think that more than USA was warranted. And I think that the word fight was well selected there. Low Mercury Tuna says, one's half-black child is as genetically related to one as a random white person. If one bred with one's half-black child, would the risks of genetic disorders be as if breeding with a non-related white person? The answer is no. Because of the distribution of the resemblance. So the resemblance in percentage has nothing to do with the distribution of the resemblance. If you make a child with an African, your chromosomes will be such that this child has 50% of your chromosomes and they are whole or almost whole. They will be splitted by some other mechanism called, my God, it's escaping my mind, called chromosomal switching. The term escapes my mind, but there is a switchover, crossover. Crossover is the term. So there is chromosomal crossover, but if you leave this aside, your chromosome come in full, and therefore your child has a full copy of your chromosome and a full copy of the chromosome he inherits from the mother. Because of this, these chromosomes are making it equally likely as to, in terms of causing inbreeding recessive traits. So basically your child would be mixed race, but from the perspective of recessive genetic traits, he would have as much chance if he was to breed with, say, a cousin or a brother or sister, he would have just as much chance of having a genetic defect. Ty Odyssey says, I'd always interpreted JF's program as chiefly involving East Asians, but maybe he meant Greater Asia. No, I mean, when I... No, I... No. When I say it's okay... First, I need to restate all the time because I keep being misrepresented on this. I didn't say you should enthusiastically fuck any woman out there. I said, if you are rejected by the white woman, or if the white woman is unlivable and all you can get is hate and abuse and really they won't make babies with you. if you are rejected from the fair dating market of the white European woman, you don't have to go into death childless. What I said is, yes, you should inseminate an Asian. Now, to be clear, I find that anything that is not East Asian, and by this I mean proper China region, or Japan, or Korean, anything outside of this, to me, is much less charming and much less beautiful. To me, I didn't have in mind go inseminate any woman on the Asian continent. I didn't have in mind an Indian. To me, the Indian woman is not beautiful at all. It's very ugly, in fact. Now, that's a personal preference. Rodilacid says, with consent, right, JF? Yes, yes. Generally, when I speak, like, I assume that you will be doing stuff within the legal bounds. Yes. I'm not appealing to crimes randomly, just like this. Quicksot says, Japanese are ugly. Now, that is absolutely false. Japanese are among the most beautiful Asians. I don't understand how you can reach that conclusion. Japanese are among the most beautiful Asians. Now, so yeah, I'm not saying go for Asians no matter what. And I'm certainly not saying go for Indians. I'm just saying you don't have to be sterilized by the white woman. If the white woman rejects you, then you are a free agent. So you can go out there like Shrig Mamel and go get your Asian wife. Now, for Shrig Mamel, it's going like it's going. Last news, she seems to be pretty fucking crazy, but listen. Najel says, can we do a JF episode where you rank the Asians if I donate 100? Absolutely, absolutely. If you donate 100, I will do this tomorrow. I will just pull an encyclopedia of 1,000 Asians and I will be ranking them, and I will give you all the rankings and my views. Absolutely, I would do this. Doubting Thomas says, JF, Indians are genetically close to Europeans. They are very much mixed with the Greek from back in the conquest of Alexander the Great. Yeah, but to me, the brown skin is a no-no. To me, doesn't require much brown for me to be like, okay, you are outside of the beauty scale. You are, you know, my brown meter is... It's just sensitive that you know when you have a sensitive meter and just a little bit of it, my brown meter is like, seriously, there are some European white women who are too brown for me. And if you just go outside once a week, you may be too brown for me. That's just how I am. I mean, I'm talking to you about my preferences. Now, my preferences don't have to influence yours, and it's okay. You can have different preferences, but that's just what it is for me. Defenestrator says, JF loves the albinos. Exactly. What they call porcelain skin or whatever. I love women who stay inside and don't get tanning from the sun. After all, the sun is cooking us. Like, we're in this gigantic oven. We're in this gigantic oven, and some people are getting out of the Pyrex bowl, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get irradiated by this cancerous device that the sun is. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Federal appeals courts block the entirety of Biden's student debt relief plan. This thing goes in and out and in and out. I mean, we've been seeing news items on this every month. And sometimes it's a court that's allowing it. Sometimes it's a court that disallowing it. It's clearly a Biden attempt at buying votes. He's thinking he's going to get votes by arbitrarily saying, you guys don't owe anything anymore. And of course, it favors liberals that have been brainwashed in university. So, you know, he's favoring his side with this. Hopefully, this court decision will hold long enough so that we don't get into the election with this bought out votes. Chances of winning are through the roof for Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, look at this on the betting markets. 65% chance of winning the Dem nomination. Biden is at 11%. People think it's 6 times more likely to be Kamala than Biden. Well, isn't that spectacular? Interesting. Biden has not been looking good for the last few days. And I think he's been playing into it. He made a tweet that said, I'm sick. But then he completed with another tweet that was saying, I'm sick of Trump's policies. Oh my God, this was orchestrated by some intern, mimetic intern, social media staff of some kind. Frog Eyes says, Jeff, is it more acceptable to race mix if you bring them back to your homogeneous European homeland? And then your mixed progeny dilutes back into your ethnic gene pool. I don't see the moral question of the preservation of races as being at the forefront of sexual decision making. I don't think you should sacrifice yourself and your choices for your race. I think that the right choices you do will often align with the maintenance of your race. But you don't, it's not even like this. You don't maintain a race by wanting to maintain a race. See? A race maintains itself. A race maintains itself just like a species maintains itself. Just like all biological organism groups maintain themselves or not. You pursue your best choice. That is the only thing morally that guides my counseling to you as to who you should date, who you should choose. Now, in the process of making that best choice, most likely, if you're white, it's going to be to date within the white race. Now, if you can't date within the white race because you're getting rejected, then you fall back to second choices. But none of my counseling is aimed at maintaining the white race, because a race that needs to be maintained consciously is a race that is bound not to survive. So it's if nature cannot lift you and hold you onto its shoulders, you are due to disappear. So it's never a conscious decision to be creating species. I mean, it may become at some point when we do phenotypic revolutions and all, but in the world that we are in and in the world that's always existed, boundaries of biological groups emerge naturally. And they are never the subject of conscious choice, and they don't have to be. And conscious choice, if anything, will be a bad tool for survival of a race. Self-interest is a good guide for the survival of a race. Fuck white women because they are beautiful. Fuck white women because they are intelligent. And fuck white women because you think they will give you a better child. Now, as far as if you are dating an Asian, would it be better to bring the Asian in your nation so that your kids eventually dilute back to whiteness? Or would it be better to go in Asia? I have no answer to give you because Your assumptions are probably false. Your assumption that your progeny would dilute more with white genes in America than it would in China is probably wrong. The future of America is probably less white than the future of China. So it doesn't matter if you're wrong in 50 years or if you're wrong in 1,000 years. There's a point at which you're wrong on your assumption. And so the survival of the white race, I believe, will probably be in traveling out of their nation and isolating themselves distant from the big groups. So because of this, it's a call that you have to do. You have to decide, is my progeny better? And again, it boils down to the self-interest of you and the self-interest of your progeny. Is my progeny more likely to survive surrounded by aboriginal savages from Philippines or African savages from Chicago? Who gets eaten first? That's the question you have to ask yourself. We have a super chat. Man in a suitcase says, isn't it true that subjective attraction can be seen as a mark of speciation? It can. Absolutely. But see, that's the whole point. That's the whole thing I was saying. Your subjective attraction as mechanism to interface with the genetic reality of your species. So if you are due for speciation, if it is in your interest to treat a potential white woman different from a potential black wife that you could have, your instincts will guide you. They will guide you properly. And so precisely because of this, we are wrong to make the question of the preservation of a race an item of personal decision making. It doesn't have to be. It's good if it accompanies, but it doesn't have to guide any of your decision. Defenestrator says, Jeff, I'm going to write a book titled Which Way Western Man's Boner. Exactly. Let your dick guide you. Kamala nomination odds after reports Biden to drop out this weekend. So people are reporting rumors and some kind of whistleblower saying top Biden aides are urging him to fight on after the debate. But now they are thinking he's going to abandon. Nicholas Petris says, Jeff, if you read it, any thoughts on or praise for Sam Hyde's eloquent response to Dana Steele? I haven't read it, so let's have a look at it. Dana Steele was saying, what if we rounded up all suspected white domestic supremacist terrorists and took their kids from them and put them in camps and molested and starved them? Just curious. And Sam Hyde is now saying, so that was in 2019, but Sam Hyde is now saying today, you don't know what you're talking about. These people have spent the past decade proving that they are irredeemably ugly inside and they won't relent until they can make you feel some semblance of the pain and bitterness they feel every day towards God for making them fucked up freaks. The only time they care about rules, civility, unity, etc. is when those things can be used to handcuff you while your kids are tranced and your money is stolen to pay for some homosexual war or some group of people that hates you and is replacing you. There is no reconciliation. We are not gleeful and we are not out for blood. We just know that we cannot live with these people anymore. Well, that's brilliantly written. He says their moral lassitude is the reason why American cities are unlivable. Their virtue signaling comes at the expense of child abuse, medical malpractice, and a couple hundred thousand dead Ukrainians. They will always play dirty, no matter how much we play fair. They need to be politically disenfranchised, publicly shamed. They need to be properly trained with electric shock therapy to keep their fucking mouths shut. These are not people who think critically from first principles. They are the mob you speak of. They are mob mentality incarnate. That is why they are called normies, NPCs, and the likes. The idea of them exercising free speech is a joke, because the only thing loaded in their software is CNN talking points. I think you are overthinking things. Your last game, Rage, was very bad. In fact, I would go as far as to call it penis poop. What I would suggest you do is stop being a little fucking pencil neck dork, defending people wishing your president was dead. You're being a smarty pants, and get back to making games that are actually good, as that is something we are all in desperate need of right now. Well, thank you for sharing this text. What a beautiful text. And he was answering to John Carmack. I don't know about this guy. John Carmack was saying, I'm sad to see the glee that some on the right have at the opportunity to deploy cancel culture over post-assassination attempt comments. I'm a hardcore free speech advocate, and I look at it like germ warfare. It's bad for the whole ecosystem. People like to think that they would fight and die for their sacred principles. This is low-stakes practice. The actors will say, those aren't my sacred principles. I'm going to punch back at my enemy. But to the people at the margin, maybe the principle is important to you. Maybe you shouldn't cheer for an online mob. I mean, I agree with the spirit of both sides. I don't think that what John Carmack is saying is terrible here. It's a decent position. But Sam Hyde understands that there is no fixing this society until we achieve proper vengeance against the deprivations of rights that have been imposed onto us. Because I don't think that the full realization of how bad they are will come to the minds of leftists ever until they are basically in a gulag being retrained. Like, it's as long as they don't feel like they are so abject that they deserve hell, I don't think there will be justice, and I don't think there will be self-realization. So I can totally understand the Sam Hyde talking point here. Ariel Suarez sends a super chat. He says, glorification of defectiveness, ugliness, failure, and the misfit, worship of failure and resentment for success and beauty are the hallmarks of leftism. We all know this very well. Very well said. I think that's totally in line. Totally in line with the Sam Hyde statement there. And yes, that is a true description of leftism. It's a form of complacency in failure. It's a form of, oh yeah, we're at the bottom. And you can't handle it because we're so strong here at the bottom. Because we don't give a shit. And we can mess your system up. And it's and we look at it from the top. The right wing looks at the left from the top and it's like, okay, you take pleasure in being this rat. This is what I answered on Twitter to one of these guys. He was like, he was telling me, we will slowly destroy your societies. We will replace you. Your ways will eventually go off because we will intermix. And I was like, you're only punishing yourself. White people will continue existing. We just got rid of you, basically. You're going down there and enjoy your time at the bottom of society. You're going to self-impose the price of mixity that you thought you were imposing onto us. Because white people don't have to ask permission from you to breed. White people will keep existing because they will keep breeding. You can't do anything about this until you kill us. That's why literally the left is, the left with their anti-natalism is, of course, to be denunciated and to be pursued and to be removed from society. But they fail in the end. In the end, it all fails. In the end, it's just a question of how many people get baited in this LGBT activism, this whatever, whatever they throw, whatever bait they throw. The question is, how many people will bite that bait? Well, there's a bunch of millions of people in California right now biting that bait. Now, okay, you got them. Now what? Now, the breeding rate of Republican states just got higher. Just got even higher in response to precisely the kind of attack that you do against them. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, why is it that normies settle into polarized positions socially if the diversity of genes is so complex? Is it because they are only presented with certain choices? Or can we view this as whenever we get over with certain amount of people, they will always flow to either side of an issue? Brilliant question. Super important. And I thought it would be a short show, but since you come up with this important question, I'm going to lay out my theory of this because it's fascinating. Why is there so much diversity of genes? So much diversity, in fact, of cognition, diversity of brains, diversity of culture. Why do the normies end up in these hyper-specific black holes of cognitive structure? That is a big question. That is like, that is exciting as a question, as a scientific question. You have here a big contrast. The world is super complex. There is no specific reason of convergence. So it's not like we're in a gravitational well, all being drained into the middle. It should expand. It should be weird. It should be, but it's not weird. The normie mind is like, it's like being swallowed by a black hole of belief, and it's uniformizing at high frequency, like to the point where 5 years ago, no one had ever heard of coronaviruses and RNA vaccines, and yet somehow in 2020, there was an official NPC leftist position deployed into humanity and adhered to by all of the well-meaning, well-thinking agents of the left. Impressive. Impressive. So what is the mechanism here? I will tell you what's the mechanism. The mechanism is the velocity of creativity in contrast with the velocity of conformism. So basically, imagine you're in a planet. It's a planet of beliefs. So imagine that you're not rising up and down based on space. It's not a spatial planet. It's a belief planet. And there's two ways. You can either reach escape velocity, in which case you are developing your own belief and divorcing from the planet, the belief planet. Or you are not reaching escape velocity, and then you're swallowed back into that belief planet. Now, the fact that people, that NPCs, are thrown into conformist beliefs so obviously and so unanimously means that there is a great filter. There is a great filter mechanism. And this great filter mechanism makes it way too hard for so many people to even aspire to reach escape velocity. So imagine the level of intelligence you have to deploy and maintain across generations for you to be in a line of thought that can generate valid new ideas. Valid new ideas that not only are true, but they're useful for you, they don't kill you, they're not self-destructive, and they're even useful so much and so general and so broad that they're not only good for you, but they're good for your children too. There are very little ideas that fit this standard. And so everyone is a failed balloon on planet beliefs. Everyone is a helium balloon that doesn't make it up a kilometer and it blows up and it falls back to the planet. Normie planet. The escape velocity to go from a set of already existing beliefs that are shared by society to another planet, another set of beliefs that you came with yourself, is extremely hard. And so everyone evolves constantly to take the resources, the cognitive resources that are locally available, rather than to throw themselves into outer space. Everyone evolves back to listen to whatever they say around you. That's probably the truth. Even if it's not the truth, it's probably good enough. Don't listen to the man in the great explosive rocket. Do not pay attention to the man behind the veil. That is that is my best rendition of an answer to your spontaneous question. I had never really been thinking in those terms, but your super chat just triggered inside of me a metaphor. And yeah, just in the evolutionary drive, it's just very unlikely that you're going to evolve to be creative, because it's just very unlikely that creativity will outcompete normalness. Normalness, in fact, normalness is superior to creativity, because normalness doesn't care if it's the truth or not the truth. Normalness says, act as if it's the truth, because anyways, there are so much people around you believing this. You're going to get in less trouble if you believe this. That is what's happening. Whistleblowers revealed Secret Service was understaffed at Trump rally because the agency was covering the NATO summit in D.C. Americans deserve answers. So perhaps understaffing could have caused the situation with Trump. A young girl gets punished in California for writing Any Life. Look at what the young girl added. They had a Black Lives Matter assignment or whatever. She added Any Life Matters. And it appears that she added a white person here. Any Life Matters. Now, she got punished for this, and they brought the case in front of a judge, and the judge concluded that she was too young to have a First Amendment right, and she was rightfully punished. You can't make this shit up. Too young to have a First Amendment right. I've never heard of this. If there was a valid reason to give First Amendment right for political expression, why would that right be modulated by age? Of course, Second Amendment rights are modulated by age, but we have to have a reason for it. The reason is a kid with a gun is dangerous. Okay, so then there has to be a modulation. But is a kid with speech dangerous? That's the question I will leave you with. Much love. Thanks to everyone for the generous support in the super chats. If you'd like to support the show, on a monthly basis, get onto Patreon or Subscribestar. We'll have our private hangout very soon, perhaps next week. I'll see you then. I'll see you tomorrow. Much love and sleep well. Thank you.